Fake news is nothing new. The U.S. has a long history of phony news from the days of yellow journalism, where the Pulitzer-owned New York World and the Hearst New York Journal are commonly credited with leading America into the Spanish-American War through their false and incendiary claims. The difference today is that bogus stories can reach more people more quickly via social media than what good old-fashioned newspapers and viral emails could accomplish in years past. Add in the phenomena of Facebook and Google and the now obvious false postings during the election, and we've got a serious problem on our hands. So, who has our back? You know, I wondered about this and asked one of the leading fact-checking organizations to talk with me today to help us understand their process. I want to welcome Lori Robertson, managing editor of factcheck.org. Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Lori, all of us go about our busy daily lives doing the things that we know how to do, all the while trying to keep up with the latest developments. You know, we hope that the sources that we entrust to help us give us a balanced picture and are working in our best interest. Obviously, that's not always the case. So, what do we need to know about these news organizations today with regards to their various agendas and their pressures that they're under commercially?
Sure. Well, you know, news organizations have been under financial pressure for some time, but we are seeing, while we've seen less local newspapers, the closure of some small local newspapers over the years, or a lot of big cities used to have two big newspapers, and most cities, one of them has now been shuttered, but we are seeing the growth of online news organizations, which is great. But we are also seeing so many different news sites that consumers of news really need to be savvy, really need to consider where they're getting their news. You know, if you're seeing something and you've never heard of that news organization before, it does take a little bit of time to look into, okay, well, you know, what is this site and where is this news coming from?
Absolutely. So, you know, how does Fact Check come into the picture here? How long has it been around and how is it funded?
Well, we came on the scene in 2003. We are a project of the Annenberg Public Policy Center, which is at the University of Pennsylvania. And we were launched to fact check political claims. We consider ourselves a consumer advocate to help voters sort through all the messages that are coming at them. When we launched, it was really about ads, television ads. Those were the main mechanisms through which politicians communicated with voters. Mm-hmm. But today we are looking at, you know, a whole different range of communication. Facebook tweets, you know, it used to be you couldn't see stump speeches that were, you know, done somewhere in the country. But now all of those things are streaming on YouTube. So we have a lot of different forms of communication that we're looking at now. And as far as our funding, we are primarily funded with Annenberg Foundation money. Mm-hmm. We once got a couple of grants from the Flora Foundation when we did some educational work. We do take donations from individuals. Anybody who gives us $1,000 or more, we identify them on our website by name and city and state. And we get a little bit of money now from Facebook because we're doing some work with Facebook to help identify these, you know, made up viral claims that we've seen a growth of.
Tell me a little bit about the work that you're doing with Facebook.
Sure. Well, we and four other fact-checking organizations signed on to fact-check, like I said, these viral claims. Facebook had seen a real growth in these messages. Some of these websites that are spreading these messages are satirical, or, you know, they say they're satirical, but a lot of people are believing the claims that they're making. Others, you know, aren't really telling you what their motivation is, but are spreading completely fabricated stories. So we started that work with Facebook where we investigate stories that both Facebook has identified as being flagged by its users and that our readers are also directly asking us about. The way the project works is if we identify a viral claim as false and one of the other news organizations, or I should say, it doesn't have to be us, at least two of the fact-checking organizations have to identify a claim as being false. And once they do that, the claim on Facebook gets a little because a little notation to let viewers know that this has been flagged by fact-checking organizations.
What is the process fact-check goes through to determine that something is actually fake? Is it a process? Is it just kind of looking up basic facts? Some things are just really not so easy to hunt down.
Sure. You know, some things are simple for us. You know, readers will ask us or say, you know, we saw this on Facebook, and they'll have a website and we can go to that website, and you go to the About Us page on that website and it says, don't believe anything here. This is satire.
Yeah.
And, you know, our work is done, right?
Right, right.
Other things are not that obvious and we need to look into what they're saying. It really depends on what the claims are. You know, we've seen a lot of viral claims in recent years that will say, oh, the president signed an executive order saying this, and they'll even give the number of the executive order, you know, making it sound really official. But, you know, either there's no executive order with that name, we can go look them up, you know, on the government's website, or, you know, there is an executive order with that number and it says, you know, nothing of the sort. So it really depends on, you know, what the claims are. And sometimes readers will say, hey, I heard this, you know, some guy in Starbucks told me this. And it's a lot more, you know, online research for us to try to figure out what was the genesis of this thing that our readers are hearing.
You know, you have this idea of fake news, which in a sense seems very black or white, or just misrepresentations of the facts. And you can go in and you can double check, you can look at a website and so on. But it's important not to lump everything into the fake news category, because some of it is just unresearched, it's shoddy. Some of it is deliberately misleading reporting. So it gets a little bit, the areas get more gray than they used to. So how do you break it down below or into the subcategories below fake news?
Well, you know, we would not use the term fake news for things that are not, you know, completely fabricated messages. You know, that said, you're right. Sometimes, you know, some of these online stories will pull the first paragraph from a legitimate news story, for instance, and then that just, you know, goes off into some made up things. You know, the same kind of thing will happen with outdated stories. You know, there'll be an older legitimate news story that one of these online websites will suddenly proclaim is new. So yeah, there are different levels of, well, did they completely make everything up, or is there a little piece of truth and then, you know, new stuff that's not correct.
Yeah, I think one of the warnings that you give to people is to check the date, because you list a story about Ford Motor moving car production from Mexico to Ohio, which was actually something that happened prior to the election, or was announced prior to the election, but these stories brought it into, you know, the current frame of time after the election. Tell us about that.
So we saw that we got many requests from readers asking us, hey, did Ford move car production to Mexico, to Ohio, because Trump was elected? And readers would cite various blog items. This is another thing with viral claims. They'll be posted on several different sites. And so these sites were quoting from and even linking to a CNN Money article that was perfectly legitimate article. It was titled Ford Shifts Truck Production from Mexico to Ohio. But if you check the date on that story, it was from August 2015. Yeah. Clearly not evidence that Ford was moving production because of the election, because it was more than a year before the election. You know, we saw one website just lifted the entire CNN Money article, stuck it on their own website, put a new headline on top and a new date, and, you know, fooled a lot of people that way.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Lori Robertson. She's the managing editor at factcheck.org, and we're trying to figure out this business of fact-checking and fake news and other distortions so we can get an idea of what to believe, what not to believe, and also where to go to test out some of these things that we're reading. In 2008, Lori, FactCheck described a list of red flags. You called them key characteristics of bogusness. And there are clear tip-offs that a chain email wasn't legitimate. Take us through some of those.
Sure. Well, an anonymous author is one. And, you know, back in 2008, when we were doing this, we were really dealing with those chain emails or viral emails.
Yeah.
But these same tips still come into play today when we're dealing with websites or memes on Facebook. But an anonymous author is definitely a tip-off. You know, why is there nobody's name associated with this? Also, we were having a little bit of fun with these messages in 2008, too, when we said excessive exclamation points, capital letters, and misspellings are a tip-off that, you know, maybe this isn't correct. You would see those a lot in the viral emails that we dealt with. We also found a lot of those emails would say, sometimes repeatedly, this is not a hoax. So you have to question, if this is legitimate information, why is whoever's writing this trying to convince me that, oh, it's not a hoax? And then the last thing was linking to sourcing that does not support, or it, and sometimes it would completely contradict the claims being made. Now, we would warn people to be careful about clicking on links, particularly in emails with phishing scams that are out there these days. But, you know, you can Google the information and find it in other ways, because some of these things will claim, hey, click here, you know, you'll see that Snopes.com wrote about it. And, you know, if you went to Snopes.com, you would find they did not say what the viral claim was.
Well, I think the greatest tool you can have when going through these are the delete button and just get rid of them and move on. Use your common sense. So let's talk about some advice on how to spot a fake. The first example you gave us was consider the source. And you have to be really careful. I'm going to explain one very quickly. There was some news from a website that had the address of abcnews.com, but then it was .co, and that's not the actual URL for ABC News. So, you know, what else are you seeing here that can trick us to thinking it's a legitimate website?
Yeah, there's some pretty sophisticated efforts to fool people into thinking these websites are legitimate news organizations. You know, there was another one that called itself WTOE5 News, which sounds like a news organization, right? Either a television or a radio station. But if you went to the About page on that site, which I definitely suggest doing because a lot of these sites will tell you what they're about on the About page, that site said it was a fantasy news website. Lots of them will be very upfront about saying, we're satire. This is satire. It's not true. Others won't. You know, there was another website created called the Boston Tribune. There is no newspaper called the Boston Tribune, but it looked more or less like a legitimate news website. But if you went to their Contact Us page, it listed a Gmail address and, you know, no physical address or any other information. So another tip off that, no, this might not be legitimate.
Yeah, there was one claim that the Obamas were buying a vacation home in Dubai. And it came from whatdoesitmean.com, which described itself as one of the top-ranked websites in the world for New World Order, conspiracy theories, and alternative news, and further says on its site that most of what it publishes is fiction. You know, the problem, Lori, is that a lot of us are really not going to take the time to go that deep, and we're just kind of hoping that we can smell these things out on our own. Okay, number two is read beyond the headline. I think we've mentioned that. Check the author. Another telltale sign of a fake story is the byline. And you tell of one person, Jimmy Rusling, and Sorcha Faal, and Darius Rubix. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of strange names might tip you off that this isn't legitimate. Some of these websites will use the same name for every single story, which, you know, you've got to think, well, I don't think this person wrote every single thing on this website. And then sometimes, you know, like with the Jimmy Rusling example, you could click on the link to Jimmy Rusling and he had his own author page. And, you know, it was clear that it was a joke. Claimed that Jimmy Rusling was a doctor who won 14 Peabody Awards and a handful of Pulitzer Prizes. You know, if you wanted to go even further, you could check the Pulitzer Prize website and see that nobody by that name has ever won a prize.
Yeah, you guys are doing that.
Yes, we can do that. But, you know, sometimes you read beyond the headline and it becomes increasingly clear that, okay, this is a joke.
Yeah.
They really throw in some silly stuff.
Well, talking about jokes, I mean, there are some true satirical sites. Some that come to mind are the site from Andrew Borowitz. Also, theonion.com is one. And they're pretty funny. But sometimes you can actually be tripped up by some of these sites as well, because the headlines are clever, but sometimes they may be a little bit too subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I don't know if any of our readers have ever asked us about an onion story, but we've had several email us about Andy Borowitz's work with The New Yorker and say, is this true? And you know, sometimes they'll say, this doesn't sound right, or, you know, I'm kind of skeptical, but could you confirm for me? And, you know, we email them back and say, that's a satire column. It's not supposed to be true in any way.
Right, right. Make a note of that when you see it the next time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the other point that you make, and I think this is probably the hardest one for all of us to work with, is to check our biases.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmation bias leads us to take more stock in information that confirms our beliefs and discount information that doesn't. So take us through that a little bit.
Sure. You know, and it's really human nature to see a headline, you know, maybe when you're scrolling through your Facebook page and it, you know, confirms a belief that you have, and so you believe it. And we really warn people, you know, the next time you're instantly appalled at something that you saw on Facebook, take a moment to check it out before you forward it on. And I think that's why these things spread so quickly these days, is that people see the headline, they immediately post it onto their page or tweet it and send it to friends without really looking into it. So often, as we've gone through here today, if you look at, oh, who's the author? What's this website? What's the date? You can start to easily see signs that this isn't a legitimate source of news.
You know, there was one viral message that I saw, and quite frankly, I believed it until now, and it's the comment that Trump was supposed to have made in People magazine many years ago. He was quoted as saying, and this was in 1998, if I were to run, I'd run as a Republican. They're the dumbest group of voters in the country. They believe anything on Fox News. I could lie and they'd still eat it up. I bet my numbers would be terrific. So anyway, that turned out to be in no way a true quote. Is that correct?
It's not true. It was made up. Yeah. And it was on a meme. There was, you know, a picture of Trump and then this quote was on it.
Yeah.
And our readers started sending us, you know, that meme saying, hey, I got this. Is it correct? And, you know, you can check People's magazines archives. Sometimes you do need to be a news organization and have something like Nexus or another service where you can look through that information or spend a lot of time at your library. But we were able to look through People's archives from that. This was supposedly from 1998. We looked there, also other years. And then we contacted People and said, do you know anything about this? And they had seen this meme and told us that, you know, they combed through every Trump story they had. They couldn't find anything remotely like this quote. And there wasn't even an interview with him in 1998, you know, year he supposedly said this.
I'll tell you why this is insidious. He made a statement during the election that he could stand on Fifth Avenue, he could shoot someone, and it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of duplicated here. I could lie and they'd still eat it up. And also, I bet my numbers would be terrific. You know, that sounds like Trump. So it's even more insidious because they're kind of covering, it's actually quite cleverly written if you think about it. They're shadowing something that he actually said, not that this is what he said, and he said it in the kind of vernacular that he would use. Now, there was another viral claim that you checked purporting to show crime statistics on the percentage of whites killed by blacks and other murder statistics by race. What was that, and what was Trump's involvement there?
Sure. Well, this was another, you know, made-up meme. It was a graphic that was going around on social media, and Donald Trump retweeted it. He was a candidate then. It was during the election, and even talked to Bill O'Reilly on Fox News about it and claimed that it came from credible sources. But this was supposed FBI crime data in the graphic, and you can look that up. FBI crime data is publicly available, and nearly every figure in this graphic was wrong. The source that it gave on the graphic was something it called Crime Statistics Bureau San Francisco. That doesn't exist.
That doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm. So again, you know, clear signs, but you're right. You have to take the time to look into that. And I think both the cases we've just cited show that those messages were designed to hit, you know, a bias and hit a belief and, you know, tap into that. You know, some of these memes, I'm not sure what the motivation is. Is the motivation simply to see if people believe it and see how far it spreads, perhaps? But one thing we haven't mentioned with a lot of the online websites, the motivation is money. You know, before you would send out a viral email, there was no real monetary reward for that. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, some of these sites are just designed to create clicks and get people to visit so that they can make ad money.
Yeah. And some may be more insidious, just kind of trying to divide the country. And, you know, who knows what's really behind. I think the issue here is that the president of the United States retweeted something like this without doing his own fact checking and so on. So it gives it further credence. My guest is Lori Robertson, managing editor of factcheck.org. And if you want to listen to this segment again or read the transcripts or read a summary about what was discussed here, don't forget to go to our website, stevepomerantz.com. That's stevepomerantz.com. Lori Robertson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.